Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of the Service Without Excuses podcast, coming to you on a Monday evening. It is still pretty cold here in New Jersey. It hasn't really changed too much, but it's kind of mild for the most part. We're in the 30s during the day, around the 20s at night, so that's not too bad. Getting ready to make a trip to Florida, hopefully everything is going to go okay. So far, so good. No event has been canceled, but I am working with an event down there over the next week or so. So I'm going to be down there going over a bunch of stuff with that. I apologize. I got a bunch of emails coming in. Actually, they're in behalf of that that conference I'm going to be involved with. But it's going to be more virtual, but I'll be in Florida doing stuff. So question I have, one of my clients wants to explore and has somebody talking about using direct marketing postcards, sales letters, things like that. And he asked me, you know, Rob, I know you're big on online stuff, but I know you're big on in-person selling. So is it still viable today? Let me go there. Is postcard marketing, is direct marketing, is sales letters, are they still viable today? I will say big ol' yes. But it also depends on your market and who you're trying to market to. Now, when it comes to acquiring new customers, new clients, I'm not as big of a fan today as I used to be in the past, but I still think it's very, very relevant. I still think it's got a lot of merit to it. I don't think it's something that doesn't work. I just know people get bombarded with messages like crazy today, more than ever. So a digital message is one thing. It goes by you, but people are kind of locked to their digital products. They're kind of locked to their cell phone. They're looking at, you know, whatever's on there and whatever's coming across. So they get updates and they get messages and news feeds and all that kind of other stuff. And people get obsessed upon that, and they're used to it. So those marketing messages come a little more needed. Plus, also, depending on the marketing campaigns you're using, I'm sure you've all gone online, Google, Amazon, whatever, and searched for a particular product, and all of a sudden on your Facebook feed, bam, it's there. We've all noticed it. It's not by accident. It's done realistically. So there's so much reinforced marketing to it. There's so much marketing that's quote-unquote sequential, and that's a key word to where I'm going to go here during the podcast and talk about sequential being one of the primary reasons I do like it. So because those messages come out over and over and over again, I think it's very important not to discount those messages. In a digital format, they're more cleverly done, in my opinion. They can get the message across quick. You're not wasting time with it. Now, the benefits to postcards, which I still like, and sales, but I like postcards. I like big postcards, larger in size. I like them to be a lot less information-driven and a lot more bam impact. So I believe in the response that a quick headline on a postcard with almost no information will go further than something that has 10,000 bullet points to it every day, twice on Sunday, as the term goes. So I think that's a real viable issue. But I just pulled up, and this is a company in Florida that I actually like called Postcard Mania. And I'm actually going to start working with them a little bit and going into next year. And I'll tell you my reasons for wanting to go forward with them, even though they do some digital marketing. They're a full marketing suite, but they're predominantly a lot of paper, what people can hold in their hands. And the reason I want to use it in my business in particular is because I have a decent client base now growing up, high-end clients that are spending anywhere between, let's say, $350 to $420 consistently across the board. That's our job average. So they're pretty decent spenders for a carpet cleaning business. They're not, you know, your average run-of-the-mill tag that's doing $125, $150, maybe $200 tops. You know, we're doubling that in some many times. So that's it. But this right here, you see a bunch of different, in the video here, you can see a whole bunch of different postcards. And they all got some pretty good messages. They're generic. They're just sending me samples of what it is. Impress your clients with a cleaned office, janitorial company, a window cleaning company, looks like floor care, maid cleaning company. You know, they try to be specific more or less to what I did with our business. We're a cleaning firm. We do cleaning of carpets and tile and grout and upholstery and things like that. And you'll hear me say that a lot. That's what my main company does. We're a multi-truck company here in New Jersey. And one thing I do notice is if I go to the mailbox, especially our business office, and I get a whole bunch of mail that comes in, I usually get a pile of these. Now, the problem is, and you might have heard this from many marketers in the past saying the same thing, these typically fit really good in something called a circular file. I think Dan Kennedy said this. They fit awesome in a circular file. No, Bill Glazer, his old partner. said these fit really good in a thing called a circular file. You know what a circular file is? Short code for garbage can. So they get thrown right to the garbage can many, many times because there's so many of them. And even though they've all probably got a nice message onto them, it's overwhelming. It's too much. And that's where digital media, Facebook media, Instagram in particular, with image-driven marketing, is a lot more powerful because it's always done sequentially. You're going to see it in your feed a lot, especially when a campaign is being done. I've done a lot of Facebook campaigns myself. I've done Instagram campaigns myself. I've done Google campaigns. Facebook campaigns I like because they're not that expensive. But when people ask me, you know, is it good to market in Facebook and do ads? And you have to get good at it. You have to figure out what's going to work, what people are looking for at the time, different times of the year. They have different needs. Different times of the year, you can run different specials and things like that. But you have to get strategic with it. There's no, you know, rhyme or reason. If you're not going to be, you're just throwing money away. So you might do a campaign that's $50 and say, listen, let me try this $50 campaign to see if it's going to work. If you haven't tested it to see how the response would be before you run the campaign, you're just usually throwing money against the wall for nothing. It's not going to do anything for you. So you think, well, it's $50. I can run a 10-day campaign for $50 and $5 a day. This is great. But the problem is most likely if it hasn't been tested and proven and had some type of feedback, you know, maybe it's a post you've done organically, which is usually how I would test something. You would compile a list of the different posts that have good content, that seem to be working content, not what I think is good content, what the customer thinks is good content. And the pictures are there, and it's a good recipe for it. But you have to test it to make sure it's good or it's not worth it. But however, Facebook is pretty equal at this point, still to this day. It's not that they're cheaper. It's that it's what you're getting for what you're paying for. So, for instance, I do what's called Google Guaranteed Services, and I'm going to get into a podcast where I'm going to break down all these mediums of what you can advertise your business with, how you can do it, whether it's through Yelp, it's through Facebook, Instagram, it's through Angie's List if you want to go that route, it's through Home Advisor, and I know I'll get a lot of boos on that one. Whatever that advisor, that media is you want to use to promote your business. Nextdoor is another one that's big now, and I'm starting to get more and more impressed with them. But Google Guaranteed Services, it's hard to get into, extremely hard for your service business to qualify for. At least it was when I got into it, because not a lot of people were doing it. And once you do it, they put banner ads at the top of the listing. So once you turn that campaign on, it goes to the top, and there's only a couple of them that run at any given time, and they rotate them depending on where what market you're in and how many people are in there and things of that nature. So that particular lead for me in New Jersey costs around $25. That is a very expensive lead, but here's the difference. The Facebook one I'm running, I'm spending, let's say, $50 on, so that's two leads, okay? It's two leads on Google. But I'm spending $50, I may not get anybody physically looking for my work. With, like I said before, you know, tampering it to find out what works and testing, you can get a lot better at it. But you could throw the money out there, just like Yelp and other ones that are just going to give you a blast of whatever, and you might get 10 calls, you might get zero calls. With Google Guaranteed Services, for me, that's two leads. One out of the two is going to do it. Guarantee. I'm pretty good with trying to get, with getting two out of two most of the time, but one out of the two is definitely going to work with my company. So even at that, now then it becomes rate of, you know, return on the jobs, and I have to really track that, and I did have some issues, but it seems like they're starting to come around with that now. But even such as it is, let's say that job averages $200 per job and that lead cost me $25. I now have the customer. I can educate that customer not to have to go through a Google ad to find me next time. It's my responsibility to make sure I send out postcards with my correct phone number on them, information, text messages with the right phone number on them, cards, business cards, any type of material that I can get them, right down to even some magnets today. They still do work in certain. They're not that big today, but they still do work. It's my responsibility now. Once I paid the $25 for the lead and gotten the customer and did the job, it's my responsibility to make sure they don't go back to Google. No offense to Google, I wouldn't have it in the first place if they didn't go there. But I don't want to pay another $25 for the lead the next time around they decide to go back there, because that phone number is a totally different phone number than mine. So I want to train them. Once I pay $25, I can make my money on the back end. If that job ends up being $135, $150, which we get a lot of, the small little jobs, one- and two-room jobs. So it's not really profitable for us to do a $135 and pay $25 to send a crew out there to do it. We're not making any money. But I now have the customer. It's my job to make sure I stay in touch with them. And one of the things that makes that viable is having postcards Now, again, this is generalized postcards, but with your name, your phone numbers onto it, business cards with your stuff. So this is where I think it's more viable to a business. I think when you're starting out and you don't have a lot of customers in your base, you could do community stuff. You could do EDDM with postcards, which is very viable. You can picture out the zip codes where you want to send it to. EDDM is still very, very relevant today. Still effective to some people, but I think it's losing its lore. Unless you're in a rural area where you don't get all of these coming to you, I think it's not really market-driven in an area where... So my market base, I market predominantly two counties, County of Ocean and Monmouth here in New Jersey. They're what's referred to as the Jersey Shore region of New Jersey. People have all heard it. Now, don't go to the show, that Jersey Shore TV show, but it is part of it. Seaside Heights is where that TV show was based out of, and that is the Jersey Shore, and it's only 20 minutes down the road from me. So I am on the shore. I could be at the ocean in about 15 minutes from where my office is and about 15 minutes from my house is. So I know my market base is 250,000 people within the areas I'm at locally, and my entire market base is more than 1 million between the two counties, and that is homeowners over 1 million. It's more than that with homeowners and renters, but the homeowners are just shy of 1 million people, which is a huge market base. So in those market bases, everybody's doing this. And that's where I think it's not as relevant unless your information's on there. So if I have this postcard, I'm just going to example. This postcard's busy. I know it's kind of tough to see with the lights. I'll pull it back here. You can see there's pictures and this and specials and all this crap. I wouldn't waste my time with any of this. I would have one offer at the bottom. I'd have a good marketing message at the top, a simple picture, and a key message saying, we missed you. Where have you been? So where have you been? But you can order those things saying they're past customers, past clients that we've done work for. They're not customers anymore. Customers are one-time transaction. A client is somebody that comes in over and over and uses you. So having these particular things on here at the bottom, I think is too much. I think one particular ad, now people say, well, you want to give multiple offers. No, you want to have one good offer. Picture which one works best and analyze that. Don't put four offers on there. That's just, it's silly because now you're just, yeah, they're going to do it. Now they're going to think they can use all three offers on one time. So use one good offer. Figure out which one works best. If you want to run two different things, then make up two separate different postcards. One has a postcard with a code in the bottom, and one has a postcard with another code on the bottom with two different offers. You want to do that? Fine. Take it over two different postcards. But I wouldn't go in and get in the habit of sending four different offers. It's small. And listen, this is too much. Yeah, there's a picture of a nice young couple there cleaning the house, whatever the office is, at ABC Cleaning, and their phone number. I don't like 800 numbers. It ruins it. I actually have a 908 number, which isn't even an area where I really service, and it still doesn't make a difference. People just call the number anyway. Probably would help if I had a 732 number right where I'm at, but it hasn't made much of a dent into it so far. And on the back of it, it says the services and all this stuff. Again, this is good. This is white space, but this is good. Your office deserves the best. Now, my company's called the Jersey Best, so I love that personally. But that's what they're, you know, this is less. You got postcard right here, mailing rate. You've got all this stuff, information. This is not bad. A little warranty, a crew experts are better. You know, little customer advisory messages, consumer guides. I think Joe Polish is a big one on that. And that stuff works. It really does, especially if you've got a current client base that's used to using you, has a trust with you, knows you. So it's key. And one of the things that gets me nuts is if a customer or potential client, let's say they're a client at this point because they've used it before, calls and says, thank God I found you. I couldn't remember who you were. I used somebody else because I thought they were you, and it was terrible. Now I feel like I just let them get taken advantage of, and I take that really personal. So it's your job to stay in touch with them as much as humanly possible. And a good way to do that is to take and put out postcards. Now, any direct mail that's going to go. It could be a letter. And a letter should be, you can go to 3D mail and you can get all kinds of custom stuff and make a letter look a lot better and a better envelope that people will guarantee open. I mean, there are things to it, but I like this. So this particular one has a marketing message, one free dental cleaning. So the offer is one free dental cleaning. They're trying to get you in the door. And it shows a couple people here and your name onto it and an expiration date. And the name of the dentist, and on the back, smile. I like this. And the reason I like it is because it's very plain to the point. Again, I don't want a whole bunch of different colors to it. I'm not trying to sell a painting here. I'm trying to have people call me because the message is simple for them to understand in their busy, hectic world. And, you know, a little bit of stuff on the back that tells you what you want. But this one's simple, okay? And it's big. So it's probably going to stick out a lot, the rest of them. Do not waste your money on these little useless. They don't do anything. They do if you're handing them to the customer right then and there with a message about a review link, about referral programs. That does something because you're handing it to them directly and they have it in their hand, like cards, like brochures, things like that. That all works, okay? That makes sense. But if you're going to take this and try and make money with this, you need to have something so simple, so much to the point that that's easy. So this one, I don't like it. And again, I just don't because I keep in track. I try to pride myself in knowing what customers want to buy, not what I think looks good technically. Right here, you're showing a breakdown on this. These are analytics. These are numbers. I would put this more on the inside. I would take this right here and say, urgent, you're overpaying. Flip to the other side, and the other side would have the message onto it. And then he does a little bit right here on volume. This looks more like an insurance or a printer. But you want to have this really personalized to get it out there. They're just going to look at this like this is general too much. It's not going to hit the mark, in my opinion. Neither is this. But I believe this one will. I believe this is nice to hand to your customers. But again, too much stuff. Too much stuff. Brochures. Now, this is a for Postcard Mania. Again, I'm really a fan because their quality is good. Their quality stuff is here, and I'm going to start looking at some of their stuff, but the brochures and trifold, good quality, good thick. Simple, all right? Simple message. This is actually really well done because you're not having a bunch of stuff on them. So when you give something to a customer at home and they're actually going to spend the time to look at it, you don't want an essay. You don't want a book report. You don't want a senior class assignment. You don't want your your when you're getting out of college, it's your last your master's thesis. You don't want your master's thesis on here. You want to just get the information, the simple message. That's the best one, in my opinion. Make sure you strategically figure out what's going to work. And honest to God, if I was going to do one of these, I would do 2 to 3 of these. And I would change the offer slightly, just like a sales letter. And I would say number one has an offer onto it, and number two has an offer for the people who didn't take advantage of offer number one, and number three has an offer. Now, every customer is probably going to get three, but you can calculate who got it and who didn't. You can't make the offer so good at the very end that the people at the first feel they got taken advantage of because you didn't offer it in the first place. You have to make it tangible. But your messaging, you know, your offer should be, you know, all that more, but the value should be driven into the message. The value should be driven into what we're going to offer you and the smile that you need to have. What does it say here? Mary, everything else starts with a smile. And Mary's the person I'm marketing to. Her name is Mary Smith. Again, customizable stuff in the address. I like this postcard an awful lot. So when I go to talk to them, this is something I would talk about. But I would make it sequential to me personally because I know my response rate on number one is going to be so. There's an old saying, you can't expect a ship to come in if you've never sent one out. But if you send a couple of ships out, there's a good chance 3 ships are going to come back. Statistically, all 3 ships probably will come back, most likely all 3, not one, not two. So you're going to have some response with sending all 3 ships out. First ship can be a rowboat, second can be a yacht, third one could be a mega yacht. Doesn't matter. You got to plan it. You got to know what's working. You got to know your offers when your customer calls. And you got to understand it. So direct marketing, sales letters, anything like that, messages. And I have a bunch of sales letters for my business in my pipeline, in my database. They work if you work them. And you have to make sure that the right message is to the right people. You have to make sure that whatever you're trying to get across is coming across in a thorough and professional manner for the right situation. Again, strategy is everything. One of the things I do teach clients is selling, and that's a big one for me. I was a commissioned sales rep, as probably many people listen to this are, where I worked for years straight commissioned, and if I didn't hustle and didn't put the right message out there, I wouldn't get it. And I worked for a company that if I wasn't giving them the right message and the customer didn't understand what they were purchasing, they got their money back. So that was key. You better make sure your message is solid, because when You sell it to Mrs. Jones, and Mr. Jones gets home, and he doesn't understand what it is, and he gets pissed off and decides to call the office, you might have a big problem on your hands. Even if you did everything right, you got to make sure you cover all the bases. So it has to be a value driven to it. You can't go selling them something they don't need. You got to sell them something they do need. And there's plenty of things that you can offer to people that they do need. You just have to point it out to them. So going that way, make sure that you're sales message is impactful to them, not to what you think it is. It's not technical. Again, don't get into the technical speak. Nobody gives a shit. They don't care. What they care about is the simple things that come across that say free dental cleaning, okay? Something that's simple. Mine with free carpet cleaning, you know, with every package. And I do have one where I've done free carpet cleaning with any multiple of rooms that I would do at the time, depending on the offer. And I found that I can get up to where I'm almost five rooms before you can get a free room, and you're fine. But when you first start out, you might be doing two or three rooms to get a free room of carpet cleaning. Free room carpet cleanings do work very well because there is some real tangible value to it. You just have to make sure you're covering your nut, so to speak, in your cost going out there. And if you can add on additional services, extra rug cleaning, Scotch Guard deodorant, whatever that is, everybody's business is different. You have to have some things that you can sell products and services to the customer that they need, that they do need in their home, that does have a tangible value to it, and you can build that ticket up. But that's for a different day. We'll get into sales a whole different time. I have a whole bunch of planned podcasts coming up with different versions of selling, differences of marketing and selling. This is marketing, by the way. This is marketing. Selling is talking, is getting the phones to ring. One of the things I would tell an advertiser, no matter what, when I talk to them, your responsibility is never, ever, ever to sell the job. Not once. And I've had sales reps look at me and go, what are you talking about? That is my job. Your job is not that. Your job is to make sure this message is good enough, goes out to enough people, that my phones ring, that leads come in through the internet, that I get Facebook messages, that I get Instagram messages, IMs, whatever that happens to be, that the messages come in. It's my job and my staff's job to sell the job. It's not your job. Now, if the message sucks and the phone doesn't ring, you know, I mean, if I designed it and said it's going to work and you told me it's not going to work and I still went around, that's kind of on me. But your whole job is to make leads come in, whether they come in through web inquiries, whether they come in through SEO, whether they come in through phone calls, whether they come in through direct mail like we're talking about today. That's their whole job. You can't hold them accountable for 1 second if you can't sell the damn job. But you have to make sure you have information in front of them that would make them want to buy. And direct mail is still very impactful. If it's done well, it's done thick enough, it's going to your past clients to keep your name, TOMA, as it's called, top of mind awareness, in front of their place. If you make sure you stay in touch with them, no matter what it is, I think you're going to be fine. Again, direct messages, text messages, SMS is awesome. You have to make sure you're compliant with what you're doing. They have to be a current customer within a period of time, current client, I should say, within a period of time to make that thing work. But it's your whole job to make sure that message gets out to them consistently that makes the phone ring. Nothing is more frustrating than to work very hard to get a new customer client in and they can't remember who the hell you are. That is the most painful thing a business owner can ever hear is that. Thank God I found you. I called somebody else. I had them do it a year ago, 6 months ago. It was awful. I thought it was you. I was cursing your name. You don't know. You don't know what they were doing. So it's important that you stay in touch with them. So this is a very tactical way, in my opinion, to stay in touch with your previous clients. New customers, not as much, because again, you're stuck with all the clutter of everything else that comes out, and you're stuck within this clutter, and again, we talked about it before, circular file. So that's just things to think about. Again, different situations for different, as they say, different strokes for different folks. Different situations in marketing work for different things. All marketing works. Yellow pages I don't think work, but I did in the past. I just don't think that works. I don't think it's a medium. That is a printed material, but now you're competing against everybody else, and there's really nobody in the phone book anymore. It's a thing of the past. That's why they went online and web, and again, for a different day. But make sure your message is consistent. Make sure your message is sequential, if at all possible, and use and test things to see how they're going to work. Don't go gangbusters. Don't spend a pile of money on a campaign. Figure out what's going to work. If it's too fine, I would never really do just one unless you're just putting that offer out there, and the offer is so good, everybody's going to want to jump on it. Very rarely happens. They might not be looking to have you right then and there. They might be thinking, oh, I'll call them in the spring. Like right now, we're in the middle of winter. People are not calling us like this. Our office is relatively slower this time of the year in comparison to what it normally is because it's the winter time, and we're a semi-seasonal business here. Now, from March, depending on weather, through December, we're really, really busy. But in the wintertime, not so much. That's why I'm able to work on this other podcasting side of the business a lot more right now, and I will load this pretty heavy with a whole bunch of content. And if you have any questions or you have any ideas or things you just want to know, actually questions, you could put it on the Facebook feed. You could put it on the YouTube feed. You can write it on the platform, whatever you're seeing it in. The podcast is out there, whether it's iTunes or whatever. You can ask the questions, and they do come to me. And if I can gladly answer them, I will. We're going to start doing some shows down the road where I'm going to do them live, probably on a Facebook live feed, because I do have a lot of people on our Facebook mastermind group. And we're probably going to do something with that. We're going to say, ask some questions, what I can help you with as far as growth of your business. Again, when you get information from me, it's information I know that works. It's not information I think that works, information that I've read somewhere that works. It's information I know it works from experience, from 30 years of doing this. So you're not getting some guy giving you advice that read a book or took a course or had somebody sell him something that said, you're going to be an expert. You got to be an expert, my friend. You got to be an expert. I'm going to leave you with this. This is the whole expert story itself. There's been many different variations of the story, so I'll make it as simple as possible. A particular motor in a ship was broken, and it's a very expensive motor, probably $2, $3 million. And this particular ship company couldn't get this thing fixed. They brought people in from all over the place. They couldn't do it. So finally, the last guy that's there said, listen, you need to call Tim Jones. Now, I'm using Tim Jones to make it up. That's just the name. You got to call Tim Jones. You're going to have to fly him in. He's in Nebraska. But Tim Jones knows more about how to fix these motors than anybody. So they finally do. They call Tim Jones, and Tim Jones shows up. And they're like, great, Tim, you come highly recommended. I need to get this thing fixed. And they're like, okay, let me see what I can do. So Tim carefully inspects the motor, goes around, walks around, looks at things, analyzes, probably 20 minutes or so. It's a pretty big motor. It's not like a motor in a car. This thing's a monster. It's the size of my room in here, my office in here. So Tim finally goes over and he goes, then the motor comes on. People are astounded. What did he do? This is crazy. How did he figure this out? It took him like 2 seconds. He knew just where to go and do this. This is amazing. Wow, Tim, you really saved us, man. We couldn't have spent millions of dollars. He goes, you know, just send me your bill, whatever it is. And Tim goes, okay, no problem. A week later, bill comes into the ship manufacturer and says $10,000. Now, the shipbuilder's like, holy shit, this guy was here for half an hour. He's charging me $10,000. Not that $10,000 isn't, but that's a lot of money for half an hour. So they call Tim and they say, Tim, I don't understand. What's the $10,000 bill? And they said, wait a minute, Tim, do me a favor. Itemize your bill for us so I can break it down and we can have a meeting about it and get it figured out. So he does. He says, no problem. A couple days later, a bill comes in the mail and it says, $2, tapping the engine with a hammer, $9,998, knowing where to tap. And your point of this is to make sure that you know where to tap, that you got to know if your postcard marketing is working and you're doing something strategically, you're learning where to tap on the motor. You are the expert, and that's what I try to say to people. When it comes to getting advice from people, Joe Polish says it himself, the worst advice in the world is bad advice, and it's true. You don't want to be a victim of that, so make sure that you take these things, learn them, develop your own strategy. If you're not sure about something, message us. I'll gladly do it in a webcast where we do a bunch of different people at a time, or we can always talk to you privately, and maybe we can help you with some other things with our consulting and coaching firm, all right? Thank you again. I appreciate you being here today on the Service Without Excuses podcast, episode number 3, season number 2. Yes, I do it seasons this way instead of big numbers and stuff like that. We had about 14 or 15 last year. I did slack off big time, and that's on me. But I promise I'm not going to go that way this time. I really got the podcasting bug. I do really enjoy it. I do prepare a lot for it. And I think I missed maybe my calling being working with radio. So it's pretty cool, but I love giving the 30 years of business information and real world in the trenches advice. Somebody that's physically done it can guide you on the way there. Glad to help you with little situations. And if we can help you with your company and get you in a better direction, then we'll gladly do that too as well if you like. All right. Thank you so much again, Service Without Excuses podcast. Have a good one.